When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom. When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Real ghost stories from real people. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.
There are some stories that don't begin with a murder or a missing person or a haunted house built on ancient ground. No, some stories start quietly, with a child's voice, a flicker of movement on a stage, a laugh in the dark that no one else seems to remember, and yet, somehow, it changes everything. In tonight's story, we meet Layla, now an adult, but forever marked by something she saw when she was just 4 years old. Something behind a curtain. Something that shouldn't have been there. A memory so vivid it haunted her into adulthood. And yet, a memory her own brother swears never happened. So was it a dream? A trick of the mind? Or was it the first moment something took notice of her? Over the years, Layla's experiences would only grow more intense. Visions of angelic beings, ghostly apparitions, and a night she believes she survived a demonic attack in her own bed. Friends and family would witness pieces of the mystery. But the full story? That belongs to Layla alone, and tonight she's ready to share it. Let's get to the letter. They write, "Dear Tony, I never imagined I'd write to someone like you. But I've lived with these memories for so long, some sharp as glass, others warped with time, and I need to know if they mean something, or if I've just been living inside a story only I can see. I'll start at the beginning as far back as I can remember. I was 4. My brother Omar was 5. We were inseparable. He never wanted to go anywhere without me, especially not to school. So my mother did something unusual. She asked the kindergarten to enroll me with him just to keep him calm. They agreed. We were enrolled at Marlow Pines Primary School. It was an old building, the kind with long green-tiled hallways and that constant hollow echo of footsteps behind you. The kind that smelled like chalk, old books, and rusted radiator pipes. The school had a theater tucked deep in its east wing. No one really used it anymore, but it hadn't been torn down, just left there like a ghost of something grand. One day the teachers decided to let us play pretend on the theater stage. It was just meant to be fun. I remember the dusty velvet curtains and the way the air changed when we stepped inside. It felt colder somehow, heavier. There was a space behind the curtain and the wall, almost like a crawlway. That's where we were all playing, Omar, me, and the other kids, when it happened. I saw it first. It was hovering, not flying, not floating, just there. Above a rotted wooden platform behind the curtain, a figure, red-skinned, or maybe just dark, horned, grinning in the worst way, and laughing. Loud, cruel laughter that rang in my ears like a scream. I screamed, and others followed. One boy started crying. Another girl ran into the curtain and fell. But I didn't stop staring. That laugh was digging into me like claws. It looked right at me, through me, like it knew I was different. The teachers didn't see it. They told us we had scared ourselves, gotten carried away. Children have wild imaginations, they said. But the other kids saw it too. I wasn't alone. Not then. Years later, I brought it up to Omar. I was 21 by then, and I still remembered every detail, the smell of the room, the look on its face. Omar didn't flinch. He looked me right in the eyes and said, "I don't remember any of that." It crushed me, not just because he forgot, but because I started questioning myself. Had I dreamed it? Did I watch a movie and get confused? Or worse, was I losing my grip on what was real? But it wasn't the only time something like this happened. When I was 15, it was summer. I remember this because I had just come in from helping my dad water the garden. I went upstairs alone to grab my phone. As I turned toward the staircase, I stopped cold. There was something standing at the top of the stairs. It wasn't human, but it wasn't monstrous either. It was still, towering, elegant, wings folded at its sides, not outstretched. It had no color, Tony. None. It shimmered like glass or water. It didn't glow, it didn't speak, but it was watching me. I didn't move for what felt like minutes. I thought I might faint. My body finally kicked into gear and I ran. I didn't stop until I was outside again, breathless and shaking. I told no one. Who could I tell? It was years before I admitted to myself that it may have been an angel. But if it was, why didn't it comfort me? Why did I feel so scared? That question haunts me to this day. 2 years later, when I was 17, I got sick. Just a fever, nothing serious. But that night, I woke up in the worst way. I couldn't move, not even a finger. My body was frozen, my eyes wouldn't open. I tried to scream, but nothing came out. I wasn't dreaming. I knew I was awake, and I knew deep down that something was in the room with me. It started at my feet, a pressure, then hands, gripping, holding, shaking. My legs lifted and dropped like it was trying to pull me down. I could feel the bed frame groaning. I wanted to cry, to scream for my parents, but I couldn't. Not a sound, so I prayed, not even out loud, just in my head. I remembered a verse I'd been taught long ago. It was supposed to banish evil. I repeated it over and over, and it worked. The shaking stopped, the grip loosened, and I gasped for air and didn't dare look at the end of my bed. I kept my eyes on the window, curled under the blanket like a child hiding from the dark. Because I knew whatever had just been there, it hadn't left through the door. I never told my parents. I couldn't bear the thought that they might not believe me either. But something was happening in that house, something none of us wanted to face, and eventually, and found my little brother, too. If the story ended there, I might have been able to convince myself it was just a series of strange dreams. Stress, fever, maybe even imagination. But the house wouldn't let me forget, and neither would my brother, Sammy. Sammy was 9 when he first said it. I saw Grandpa again last night. He said it like he was telling us what he had for breakfast. No fear, just calm. He claimed our grandfather had come into his room dressed all in white, standing near the window. He didn't talk. He just looked at him, nodded, and floated away through the wall. We all thought it was sweet at first, maybe even comforting, but it didn't stop. Over the next few months, Sammy told us more stories. Grandpa would appear at the foot of his bed or by the door, always dressed in white. Sometimes he would glide in and out. One time, Sammy said, Grandpa stood behind my mother while she was brushing her hair and smiled. My mother brushed it off. He has a good imagination, she said, but she started locking her bedroom door at night. Then one day, a friend of mine, Alina, came to stay over. She was sleeping in the basement guest room. I didn't tell her anything about Sammy's stories. I didn't want to scare her. The next morning, she came upstairs pale and shaking. She hadn't touched her breakfast. She finally spoke. I saw a man in your basement. She described him before I could say anything. White clothes, silent, tall. He didn't speak. He floated near the ceiling. And then, she said, he looked at her, turned and drifted through the wall. She was crying by the end of the story, not just out of fear, but because she was convinced she had seen a ghost. When I told her what Sammy had been seeing, she nearly screamed. We never talked about it again. She didn't stay over after that. You might think, Tony, that this house is old, that it has some tragic history baked into its walls. But here's the thing. This was a new house. My family bought the land, built it from the ground up. My grandfather died before we ever moved in. There was no reason, no logical reason, for him to be here. Unless it wasn't the house that was haunted. Unless it was us. I began thinking about that more and more, the dreams, the shaking, the angel, the devil behind the curtain, all of it. And the older I got, the more convinced I became that something had marked me. That maybe, without knowing it, I had opened something that couldn't be closed. It all came to a head a few months ago. I don't even know what made me do it, but I drove out to my old school in Marlow Pines. The place was still standing, converted into an administrative building for the district. I lied and said I was doing research for a local history project. They let me walk the halls. The theater was still there. I pushed open those heavy doors and walked inside. The velvet curtains were moth-eaten now. The room smelled like mildew and wood polish. But when I pulled back the curtain to look behind it, I froze. The wooden platform, the one the figure had hovered over, was gone. Replaced with cement and metal brackets, I asked a staff member about it. She told me, almost offhandedly, that the platform had collapsed back in the early 2000s. A teacher had fallen through it, broke his hip, they tore it out and rebuilt. She didn't say what year it happened, but I knew. I didn't ask. And what made that spot so different? What was hiding behind those curtains that day? And why, of all the children there, do I seem to be the only one who remembers it? I tried reaching out to one of the girls I thought had screamed with me that day. I found her online. She didn't even remember going into the theater. I don't know what to believe anymore. I only know what I've seen, what I've felt, and that it hasn't stopped. There are still nights I wake up and swear something is standing in the corner. I'll catch a glimpse, just for a second, of a shadow pulling itself along the wall, only to vanish the moment I turn on the light. Sometimes I hear footsteps or whispering, always at the edge of hearing, never close enough to understand. Sometimes, when I'm brushing my hair, I check the mirror to see if someone is standing behind me. They never are, but I still check. I don't know what's worse, Tony. That I might be imagining all of this, or that I'm not. That something decided to follow me all those years ago and never let go. That I was marked when I was a child, chosen for something I can't explain. Why me? I don't expect an answer. But maybe someone out there hears this and realizes they're not alone. Maybe someone else saw something behind the curtain. Maybe they remember the laughter. Or maybe they're still trying to forget it. Thanks, Layla. Sometimes the most haunting stories don't involve a crime scene or a missing person, but a quiet unraveling of reality itself. Layla's letter isn't just a collection of eerie moments. It's a map, drawn in fragments, of a life spent looking over her shoulder, trying to determine if what she saw was real, or something her mind simply refused to let go of. What strikes me most isn't the devil behind the curtain, or the angel shimmering on the staircase. It's the silence that followed. A brother who didn't remember, a guest who never returned, a family who learned to look away, When the people closest to you begin to forget or deny what you know to be true, the loneliness can feel more terrifying than any ghost. Psychologically, there are explanations. Sleep paralysis, hypnagogic hallucinations, the fragile blending of memory and fear in childhood trauma. The brain's ability to rewrite or reshape what we think we saw to protect us or confuse us. And yet, there are cracks in that logic. A child who remembers the laughter of a thing that shouldn't exist. A friend who sees the same ghost a sibling had described. A school platform that collapses after a sighting no one else claims to remember. Paranormally, this fits a pattern we've heard before. Entities that attach not to a place, but to a person. Spirits or forces that linger within bloodlines. Sightings of relatives long dead, appearing not as a source of peace, but as quiet messengers or watchers. Some believe certain people are sensitive, able to perceive what the rest of us can't. Others believe certain spirits choose their audience carefully. So what do we make of Layla? Maybe she's one of the chosen, or maybe she simply happened to be looking in the right direction when something from the other side decided to show its face. And if you're listening right now thinking about a memory that won't fade, about a shadow that no one else saw, maybe you're one of the ones they watch too. Not all hauntings come with rattling chains or slamming doors. Some just stand silently behind the curtain, waiting for you to look. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi.
Want more real ghost stories from real people? Then press subscribe now. We're dropping new ghost stories every single day. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.